Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. In today's society, we see nearly everyone fighting for their own rights. This makes submission an unpopular idea because society views it from a horizontal perspective rather than a vertical one. Ultimately, every time Christians are called to submit, we are really being asked to submit to God, regardless of the institution, personality, or character of the authority figure. Please open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 3 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of verses 1 through 7.
1 Peter chapter 3, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So if you've been with us, we are in a section of Peter where there is the biblical doctrine of submission to God-appointed authority. And that is not really a very popular topic today. It's not a popular topic because it violates our rebellious spirit of self-determination. But if you and I are serious about following Christ, and I trust that we all are, if we desire to experience the power of God's Spirit working in our lives, in our marriages, in our church family, or if you're visiting us from another part of the body of Christ, then it would be wise for us to hear what the Spirit is saying about submission. Because this much we do know, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, the Spirit of God will not tolerate, and it certainly will not move in either a rebellious vessel or a rebellious church. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Samuel that rebellion is as the spirit of witchcraft. And do I need to say to you, look at our nation. Look at the shape that our nation is in because we have disregarded the authority of God, the authority of his word, and we have sown to the wind and we are reaping a whirlwind of chaos. Tim Keller, who is now in heaven, wrote these words, quote, when you come to Christ, you must drop your conditions. You have to give up the right to say, I will obey you if... I will do this if. As soon as you say, I will obey you if, that is not obedience at all. You are saying, you are my advisor, not my Lord. I will be happy to take your recommendations, and I might even do some of them. No. If you want Jesus with you, you have to give up the right to self-determination. Self-denial is an act of rebellion against our late modern culture of self-assertion. But that is what we are called to, nothing less. In the Gospel of Luke, just comes into my heart as I'm standing here before you. Jesus is surrounded by a multitude, and they seem to want to follow him. And then he said these words in Luke 9:23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Well, that was it. Goodbye, crowd. But that's really the essence of being a follower of Jesus Christ, isn't it? We're under new management. And what God has to say in Scripture about authority, any authority, we must take heed to. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. And therefore, whenever we find the principle of submission in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is telling us that submission to authority is something that is good for us, something that we can profit from, whether it be a child-parent relationship, whether it be a husband-wife relationship, whether it be an employee-employer relationship, whether it be a citizen and a government relationship. Submission is ordained, authority is ordained by God. And you'll see as we go through these scriptures this morning that never is the one in authority spoken of regarding how they are to behave. Always the believer under the authority of God. And so we need to hear what God has to say to us. Notice that the first word in chapter 3 is the word likewise. That is a connecting word. In other words, it connects with what we saw last week. Let me read you another couple of passages of scripture. 1 Peter 2:21 through 23, where it says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." Notice, Jesus, the Son of Man, committed himself to his Father. Likewise, you wives. Yes, you'll see. We'll get there, don't worry. "Likewise, you wives." In verse 7, "Likewise, you husbands, as Christ submitted to the Father," we are called to submit to our Father. Notice that Peter is writing to women who are married to husbands who have yet to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so, if that's you this morning, the question is, how do I reach my unsaved spouse to Jesus Christ? And the Holy Spirit, through Peter, is providing such women with wisdom on what their behavior as Christians are to be. Now, a few things that I think are very important to make sure that we understand what Peter is not saying. The biblical principle of submission in marriage does not mean that the husband is superior and the wife is inferior. Doesn't mean that the husband is smarter than the wife. I'm glad that my wife is smarter than me. It does not mean that the husband is holier than the wife. It does not mean that the husband is always right and you should never express your opinion about issues. And it certainly doesn't mean that all women must submit to all men. We're not talking to Sopranos here. You see, this principle of submission in marriage is rooted in the divine order of God that we see back in the book of Genesis. God brought Eve to Adam, and he said in the beginning, God made them what? Male and female. So listen, please listen, beloved. We're living in a society where they're trying to tell us you don't know who is a male or a female. Listen to God. God did not create us unisex. While it is true that husbands and wives, as image bearers of God, are equal, we are not identical when it comes to different gender-based roles. Now, I do believe that there are some exceptions to this submission. In the marriage covenant, there is no biblical justification for submitting to physical abuse. Submission does not mean that your husband has the authority to demand that you worship a false god. Submission does not mean that he has the authority to tell you to engage in compromising behavior, cheating on taxes, just because he is the husband. Having said that, ladies, having said that, because you are saved and your husband is unsaved, that does not mean that by default you are now the head of the home. You're not. You're not. You may very well be, by the grace of God, salt. You may very well be light, but you will never be the head. And I say that because the tendency is to begin to take matters into your hands and do things your way instead of having God do things his way. How many times do we find in Scripture when man has a way of doing things that is contrary to the will of God? Never works out too good, does it? It never works out good at all. And ladies, secular methods are poor substitutes for the Holy Spirit. In fact, by leaning on your own understanding and earthly wisdom, you may actually find yourself driving him further away from Jesus than endearing him to you. Now, let me just say that for you ladies, beware of thinking that you can argue your unsaved spouse into the kingdom. Pray for them? Absolutely. Share the scripture of God with them? Absolutely. But don't think you can argue or nag them into the kingdom. The Bible is very clear. In Proverbs 19, verse 13, the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Proverbs 21, 9 means or says, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And so what does Peter tell you, ladies? He says, cultivate Christ-like character. Now, is Peter guaranteeing that your unsaved husband is going to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ? No, this is a biblical principle. How many of you parents have raised your children in the ways of the Lord and you're believing the scripture when they're old, they're going to be saved, right? But how many of you, don't raise your hands, have children that you've raised in the Lord and they're not walking with the Lord? You see, they, that child, that son, that daughter, that unsaved husband, they must personally come to conviction of sin and repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. So this isn't a guarantee, but this is God saying the best way that you can see your unsaved spouse, unsaved husband come to Christ is by following his instructions. You see, and that applies to any area of submission in the Bible. Should children submit to their parents? Every parent goes, yes. Should wives submit to their husbands? Only the guy said yes. This is going to be quite an altar call. You see, we don't get here. Listen carefully. We do not get to vote. We do not have any option. Well, we do. God's way or my way. And whenever you do things your way, the net result is disaster when it's contrary to God's way. Right? We'll get into an example of Sarah and Abraham in a few minutes. What Peter is saying here is that a godly, spirit-filled, praying wife who loves Jesus deeply and trusts him completely is one of the most powerful tools in the hands of the Holy Spirit when it comes to winning an unsaved spouse to Christ. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 7:16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Now we will talk to the men when we get to verse 7. You see, God has a way as God. He knows men better than you do. Don't think that you know your wife, men, better than God does. And ladies, don't think you know that you know your husband better than God does. He knows us best. So now Peter is going to tell them, you need to renew your mind. And he then says, you need to dress differently. Look at what he says in verses 3 and 4. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And so Peter is telling the Christian woman to make their relationship with Christ a priority. Don't dwell on the outward. You see, because when you are dealing with an unsaved husband, there's a tendency for you to think, well, if I dress a little sexier, or if I compromise biblical truths a little bit more, that's going to endear him to me. By doing that, ladies, listen carefully, you're grieving the Holy Spirit, and it's not going to work. You see, the point that Peter is making here, ladies, is that physical beauty fades. Now, let me talk to all of us here today, male or female. We all will get to that point in our lives. And I know you young people, your eyes are rolling now. Should the Lord tarry, one day, God willing, you'll be 75 and you'll know what I'm talking about. We all get to that point in our lives where we have to accept the fact that all of the wrinkle creams and all of the just-for-men hair color in the world is not going to change the aging process. Now, you may fool yourself, but you're not really fooling yourself. You know what it's like in the morning, guys, right? You get old, right? If you live in a split level, you get up in the morning, you go downstairs for a cup of coffee, and you sound like a slinky, right? You go to shave and you look, who did I become? And then you look nice like you look now. But you can't stop the aging process. Proverbs 31, verse 30, this is the virtuous woman. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And let me say, the woman that fears the Lord, she's a beauty in a good sense. Many of you probably know, I know by name, the actress Halle Berry. At one time in People's Magazine, she was considered to be one of the 50 most beautiful women in the world. Listen to what she said. Beauty? Let me tell you something. Being thought of as a beautiful woman has spared me nothing in life. No heartache, no trouble. Love has been difficult. Beauty is essentially meaningless, and it is always transitory. Now, notice here that when the Bible talks about appropriate dress for a Christian woman, it's important for you to understand that Peter is not saying that a Christian woman should not get fixed up or look pretty. You do. You look so beautiful when you come, ladies. All of you. You do. You really do. This is good. Now, let me say this. As a husband, I believe that it is important for a Christian woman to keep herself as pretty as she possibly can be. I believe that it is very important to do that. You see, the kind of attire that is forbidden here by Peter is descriptive of the attire of the temple prostitutes. They intentionally dressed provocatively. They intentionally dressed to put their physical assets on display in order to attract men and to lure them to them. And that is a philosophy that has impacted women all around the world. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 7, verse 10, Solomon tells his son to beware of the woman with the attire of a harlot, with a subtle heart. What Peter is saying here, ladies, is don't think that by dressing provocatively, you are going to win him over to Christ. And let me just say to all of you ladies, old or young, the scripture exhorts you to not dress provocatively. I know that there's pressure put upon you by society, but by culture, listen to your God. Don't go there. Don't go there. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:9 and 10, in like manner, women should adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, in other words, self-control, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becomes women professing godliness with good works. And so, like Peter, Paul is saying here that the women of the world dress the way they do because they are empty inside. They're dressing to say, I need attention. I need love. That's what they're dressing. They're wanting to draw men in, but they're using a carnal, worldly method. The way they dress is a testimony to their insecurity and bankrupt moral values. That's why so much emphasis is put on the outward. Whenever a woman intentionally shows cleavage or wears short skirts or clothing that is so tight or accentuates their physical attributes, you're sending the wrong message to a man. I'm telling you this, ladies. As a 75-year-old pastor, happily married man, you don't want to send that message. And I would say to the guys, you know, in the summertime, come on, guys. Come in with your tank tops and show your guns. Whether you like it or not, if you did not know me and I'm walking down the street in your neighborhood, and I rented a Catholic priest's garment, you would think, oh, a priest just walked by. You get the idea? You can dress in such a way, intentionally dressing in such a way, people are going to think, this is a whatever. You got to be very, very careful how you dress. And I would say that to the men also. Ladies, if you were living back in the first century, what Peter and Paul are saying is you can look beautiful without looking like a hooker. And that's not, and pray, we need to be praying for women that are gripped in that lifestyle. I mean that with all my heart, okay? I'm not putting them down, but Peter is making this point here. The beauty of a Christian woman is a beauty that doesn't depend on the outward. It's an inward beauty and character, and you're just as beautiful whether you're 87 or 17. You can be modest and beautiful. Peter did not say that women should not wear jewelry. He didn't say that women should not wear nice clothes. But that Christian wives and women should not think of the outward attire as the source of genuine beauty. All Christians are called to worship the Lord, it says in Psalm 29, in the beauty of holiness. Holiness. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, KoinoniaFellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.